Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 49, the episode entitled something along the lines of, "Hey, look at the quilts my mom made." Because my mom finished a really beautiful quilt. She made it as a hostess gift for a friend she's going to see in Martha's Vineyard. I think she leaves Sunday on her trip, and it's a reunion of sorts. I'm thinking it may be her mom. You have to remind me if it's like people she went to kindergarten with, or I think it's maybe high school friends or middle school friends. Friends for life. Friends she's known a long time. And isn't it nice that one of her friends has a house in Martha's Vineyard? Yes, it is. And it's nice that my mom is going and that she made this beautiful quilt. So you can go over to my WordPress site, which is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, and see a picture of my mother's beautiful quilt. I have no finished work to show you, so I have no pictures. I guess I could take pictures of work in progress, although they really wouldn't be exciting pictures at this point, just more quilting on hidden stars, and really actually fairly good progress on Will's quilt. I have one more piecing bit to do, little pieces, sewing little pieces to other little pieces, whatever that may be called, piecing, I don't know, together before then I start putting the whole thing together. So whether or not I will finish this, and I get pressure almost daily from Will, so I think I will finish it, not too distant future, but the pictures right now would just be little piles of little pieces and not particularly entertaining, I don't think. But if you think otherwise, you can let me know. It's been a good week. I'm recording this on Thursday. I hope I will get this posted by tonight. In a little bit, I'm going to take a friend of mine who did a lot of PR work for me this spring when I had a new book come out, 10 Miles Past Normal. She has gotten freelance work with Simon & Schuster. She did gratis publicity for me with my last book, and Simon & Schuster really liked what she did, and so this year they gave her a budget, which was really nice, but she definitely went above and beyond the call of duty, so I'm going to take her out tonight, so that'll be nice. Yes. Where am I going with this? I don't know. I feel like I had a point, and now I don't. I know, because I've got a lot to do before I go. It's 4 o'clock. It's Thursday, July 27th. I don't know. It might be. It's the summer. Who knows what the date is? I guess calendar makers, certain people, people who actually have to be responsible, proactive, progressive, productive, might know the date, but I don't. I do know the time because I can see my oven clock from here. It's 4:02 on Thursday afternoon. I'm progressively getting later and later with posting this podcast. I just feel like if I get one done within each week of the calendar year, I'm really doing well. Whatever day it lands on, who can say? Let's let it be a surprise for all of us. What to tell you, I've been busy, mostly with house stuff, and we realized our figs were ripe. So I had to start fig picking. That happened really quickly. All of a sudden, Jack came downstairs and the fig trees are outside his window. So I think the figs are ripe, and sure enough, they were. So I've been processing figs. Made some fig jam yesterday, and it was really good, but for some reason, my jars did not seal. I preserved them and did the hot water bath, and the jars did not seal. I don't know why. I may have not given enough headroom. It's disconcerting to me. I've had no problems with stuff with lids sealing before, so I don't quite know what I did wrong, but I just put them in the fridge, and I think I'll just probably end up freezing that jam. I think the jam will be fine, and it's quite tasty, but I have more figs, and so, in fact, right before I sat down to record this, I was mashing figs for a little more jam. So, there you have it. A little mystified by what happened with the last batch, but onward, upward, not letting it bring me down. I've had this thing in my life where I often have beginner's luck and then never really ever am quite as successful ever again. And so I'm a little scared, like I had beginner's luck with my strawberry and blackberry and blueberry jam. I mean, that's, three jams that came out fine, and now I'm like, wow, well, I had that spaghetti sauce incident where I only got 2 pints and I expected 5, and now my fig jam jars didn't seal what's happening here. I'm jinxed. Something's wrong. Or maybe it's just too hot. No, people have been canning in really hot weather for a long time. I'm going to figure it out, and then I'll let you know about it. Let me move on here very quickly, because you've got things to do, and I've got things to do, and I don't want to make this episode too long. I want to say thank you to everyone who commented or emailed. And I heard from Sherry D., who is from Minnesota, it turns out. She's not living in Minnesota now, I'm pretty sure. She lives in Arkansas, where, amazingly, they don't have mosquitoes, she tells me. It was a nice, very long, interesting, informative comment from Sherry D. I always love hearing from her. Thank you, Sherry. And Kathleen in St. Louis. These comments, by the way, are my Podbean site. If you are looking for a good, really fabulous-sounding recipe for figs, go over to my Podbean site, because Kathleen, who is a former food writer and seems to know a lot about food, has given us an amazing recipe, which I cannot wait to try. I also got some comments on my WordPress site, and by the way, I think I already gave that address, http://theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, and the other site is http://offkilterquilt.podbean.com. In any event, over at WordPress, I heard from Vanessa and Kelly the Fifth, who asked me if I've seen Downton Abbey. Kelly just finished watching that for the third time. I can't wait for part two coming over to the States this fall. That's what they are promising. I really hope it happens. I heard from Sequin K, who has been canning for the last three or four summers, and recommended a food strainer. And Sequin K, I went and looked on Amazon.com, and the food strainer looks awesome. I wish I had gotten that instead of a food mill, although I like my food mill. Also thinking about getting a food dehydrator, because all these figs, so many, and there's only so much. We've got a lot of jam now. We've got really a good year's worth of jam already, so I don't know how much more fig jam I'll make. But I love dried figs, and so I'm thinking about that too. Knitwish, thank you. Nicole, who lives in Lincoln, Nebraska, and has visited the quilt study a couple years ago when they had the crazy quilt exhibit. So how nice to be there. And she said, if I come to see it, I should get in touch with her, and I promise that I will. Heard from Jody B., who recommends The Closer. I've been asking for a recommendation. She also recommended old Frasier episodes, and I've done some of that. I love Frasier, so that's a great recommendation. Thank you. And got a really useful and helpful email from Sally, who gave me a whole list of shows, including Eureka, Burn Notice, Lie to Me, How I Met Your Mother, Castle, Sherlock, the modern day version from the BBC, which I've also heard is very good, The Unit, In Plain Sight, for some science fiction-y shows, Babylon 5, Battlestar Galactica, which I have watched some of, Red Dwarf, Futurama, and Modern Fantasy, The Dresden Files, Charmed, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which, you know, I've not watched, and that's something, that's a good idea. That's something that the man and I could see us starting from ground zero with that and going through, because I bet we would enjoy it. So she also mentioned Arrested Development, and we have watched a lot of Arrested Development. I've kind of gotten to the point with Arrested Development that there's a point with painful comedy, you know, like the Larry David Show, which I can't watch anymore. Arrested Development gets that way, and even in 30 Rock, we just like, this is just too painful. I can't watch this anymore. But I have to say, there's a lot of Arrested Development I thought was really hilarious. Anyway, thank you to everyone who commented, emailed. Sometimes people comment on previous episodes, after a couple episodes after the fact, or before the fact, or around the fact. And I'm sorry, I know, because sometimes I miss you guys, and I miss saying thanks to you, because I've moved on. But I think they're for episode 45. There were some fairly recent comments, and I just want to say thanks. Oh, to Sue S., who loved the square spirals. Thank you. And she liked the back, too. And I think Kristen also was sort of a later addition. And I need to get better at thanking people who comment later, because I certainly do that on other people's episodes as well. Because, you know, you get them lined up in the queue, and there you have it. You know, so I'm often three or four episodes behind, and you want to comment and say, oh, you know, I'm just rambling. I'm going on. Okay, I've got some quilt diaries, and I hope you enjoy them, and I hope you have a great week, and let's just get on with the talking. Quilt Diary, day one. It's Monday, July 25th. I am sitting on my porch, in spite of the fact that it is 4 p.m., usually a time too hot for porch sitting, but we just had a big thunderstorm come through, which was delightful. It has been super hot here. I know it's super hot in a lot of places, and I think that here in the South, where you're used to stretches of super hot weather that were probably more psychologically and perhaps physiologically fit to deal with the extreme heat. I wish people wouldn't talk about it so much. You know, I mean, it's a big deal. I know if it's 104 in Boston, that is a subject worthy of discussion. But when it's 101 in North Carolina in late July, they ought to just let it go. I think they just cause more trouble by bringing it up and making a big fuss. And then everyone goes around and goes, oh, I'm so hot. But maybe if, you know, the people on the radio just chilled out about it, everyone would go, yeah, that's North Carolina in July for you. Anyway, it has been a bit hot. I will tell you, Saturday morning, we went to Will's Little League game at 9 o'clock at a field with just a teeny-tiny bit of shade. And even though it was 9, it had been 101 the day before, and it was still hot, even in the shade, at 9 o'clock in the morning the next day, Saturday. And by the time we got home around 11, everyone was suitably drained. Will's team lost. They did not win any games this summer. Although, you know, Will is quite a good little baseball player, and his friend Gavin, who I've mentioned many times on this podcast, is also a very good baseball player. But it was kind of a bad news bears kind of team nonetheless, even with several boys who are fairly good. We had just a lot of young kids. The league, I think, is 7-9. And we seem to have a lot of tiny 7-year-olds. And the team we played on Saturday, we played the week before. And, man, they got this one kid who looked like he was about 40. Huge! So, and he hit a grand slam, and you couldn't blame him. I am looking at a hummingbird that is sitting still in my tree over my hummingbird feeder. My hummingbird feeder is actually Jack's hummingbird feeder. Our neighbors, Eddie and Janet, gave it to Jack a few years ago for a birthday present, and in our way, which is the Dow way, it took 3 years to get it set up, but now it's set up, and one of my delights this summer has been watching the hummingbirds come to the hummingbird feeder, which they do from time to time. It's really nice. Quilting news. Well, don't have much. Continue to quilt fairly steadily on the Hidden Stars quilt. And I'm working on Will's quilt, which is Stormy Weather from the, you know, Layer Cake Charm Pack, Jelly Roll, Tutti Frutti, What You Got Going On quilting book by the adorable Lintott sisters. And, you know, it's funny. It was funny. I did that, you know, the Shoe Fly Pie quilt, which was neat because, you know, I made it up. I mean, and not out of thin air. Obviously, I looked at Gwen Marston's book and got Liberated Quilt Making too, and saw the shoe fly, the sort of the liberated shoe fly, and just did those blocks. And but you know, overall, I took a block pattern and I made it not my own. But you know what you do. I mean, I designed the overall quilt myself. It wasn't any sort of breakthrough in quilt design, but it was fun to do. It was fun to figure those things out. And I'm finding working on Stormy Weather to be, I don't know, maybe a little boring. And here's the thing. So I had planned with my birthday money to buy fabric to make the quilt that was on the cover of McCall's maybe April, May issue, which as I discussed not too long ago, when I looked at the picture more closely, what I realized that I was loving on that quilt, what I thought I was loving was the fabric. What I was loving was the quilting. There's a lot of navy blue in the fabric used in this quilt, a lot of white, and then the quilting is done in navy blue. So it just looks very Asian and cool, and I liked that a lot. Now I looked at this quilt again last night. I looked at the issue of McCall's quilting with the quilt last night, and I realized the quilt itself is not that different from the quilt I'm doing for Will, which is leaving me feeling not enthusiastic about doing that. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Suddenly, I've got it in my head that I want to do an art quilt. I need to go back and listen to Tanisha talk about the process, her process. She very helpfully went through it I mean, it was in the spring, one of her podcast episodes in the spring, where she walked us through how she made this art quilt. And I need to listen to that again. I just am kind of thinking about that a lot. I'm not sure I'm going to become an art quilter, but I look at art quilts and I really like them. I wonder if I, what I can do. I'm sure I can do some simple things. And but I also, I think partly this impulse is coming from enjoying kind of designing my own quilt and wanting to do some more of that. And wanting to, you know, get a little funkier. And also being a little bit bored with stormy weather. I mean, sometimes it doesn't matter if it's boring because you just want to sew. That's how I felt. What happened the other night that made me... Oh, I went to a community meeting about local food. And it was just... I'm not good at groups. I've discussed this before. I'm such an introvert. And a friend of mine just forwarded me the link to an article about introversion that ran in the Atlantic Monthly several years ago, I think in 2006, and it was wonderful. I read it. I was like, yes, this is exactly describes me, and I knew I was an introvert. I've known that for a long time, but there's something about seeing someone else describe themselves as an introvert and talk about it, and it makes you just feel like, yeah. And for me, I've been thinking about it a lot this summer because I feel like in the back of my mind, I've always felt like somehow I could change, and I don't think I can. But I really would rather be an extrovert. I would love to have big parties. That's always been this dream of mine. And, you know, I think hospitality is important. It's an important part if you're a Christian. And, I think a Muslim or, you know, Jew, any one of the great faith traditions, I think hospitality is an important element. How, you know, inviting people into your home and treating them well. And the problem is if you're an introvert, you really don't want to invite people into your home. I mean, you do if you could make them leave after 2 hours. That's the problem with having parties. I actually enjoy cooking, and I like cooking for other people, and I like having people over, except that they won't leave. And after 2 hours, I'm spent. So anyway, I went to this community meeting about local food, and it was awful in just so many ways. I mean, I'm very much... think that we should be trying to eat more locally, and it's good for the environment, it's good for our bodies. I think growing food is your own food is as much as you can, as much as reasonable, and it's more reasonable for someone like me who works at home. But you know, it's just good work. It's a very satisfying thing to do, and obviously I'm having a lot of fun preserving food and all of that. But I don't know. I just went to this meeting and people were very self-righteous about it. And I don't know. I'm just not good at groups. I like people individually very much, but groups over, say, 6 people just do me in. So I came back, and I thought, I should just sew. I'll feel much better if I just do some sewing. I ended up not, partly because I ended up talking with the man about the meeting, and then it got late, and there you have it. But that was my first impulse. It's like, I think I would just like to sew, and I would like to iron things. There's another thing. This is complete... ramble away from what I was kind of just talking about. Yes, totally. Not just kind of, totally. But my mind makes leaps. I'm leaping here. I'm leaping. I went the other day to Crazy Mom Quilts, to her website, because my friend Melissa is coming over tomorrow, and I'm going to help her quilt and bind a small quilt. And that'll be fun, I hope. I hope I can be helpful to her. But I wanted to send her the link to Crazy Mom Quilts because she has a lot of very helpful tutorials on her blog. Well, her most recent, as of like Saturday, maybe, blog post was about essentially thinking about quitting blogging, and you know, it was just there was such a lot of work, and then there were negative people who just really brought her down, and it turned out she was doing a quilt along, and some people had questioned her directions. It was, I think, as much as I love her and think it's a wonderful blog, I felt like it was a really severe overreaction. Because I went to the post she was talking about, and I saw people were saying, oh, they did question if the way she had directed her readers to follow along, to quilt along, was the best way. There were just some particular directions where, you know, which could have been otherwise. But I didn't think anyone was being mean. I didn't think anyone was, you know, they're just saying, you could try it this way too, or I think it's actually better to do it this way. And she seemed to take that very hard. And then she just said, well, you know, it's not just me. I've got other friends, and Then she linked to another blog, the blog of the designer of the Sherbet Pips or Peeps or what, you know, this very popular fabric that came out earlier in the spring that everyone went a little crazy over. And this person was also sad because people had been negative about her, and she linked to another person's blog, and this person had said, well, I'm going to list six things that, you know, I'm feeling really cranky about, that I just want to be honest and get off my chest. And one of the things was how much she hated this fabric. And all these people replied, and they all were just like, yeah, I hate Pips too. I hate that fabric too, and I hate so-and-so's fabric. And it was kind of fun, you know, because sometimes you just like to say, I don't get this. You know, everyone that do the emperor's wearing no clothes things, I don't get that. The emperor is naked. Why doesn't everyone else see that? But I think maybe people were having a little too much fun and forgetting that the designers they were dissing were people, and apparently people who read blogs. So there you have it. But a lot of people are saying, you know, listing their six things that really, they just wanted to get off their chest, that I don't like piecing. You know, someone was like, all I like is designing the quilt and buying the fabric. I don't like any other part of the process. I thought, wow. But, you know, a lot of people say, I don't like the sewing. I don't like cutting. I don't like sewing. But a lot of people say, I don't like sewing. I don't like doing the piecing on quilts. And the number of people said they didn't like quilting the quilt. I thought somebody, I don't know if it was on this pod, on this blog that I was reading that I had been ultimately referred to, or if it was someplace else where someone was saying, you know, people who piece quilts but don't quilt them are actually not quilters, they're sewers, which, whoa, you know. But anyway, I like sewing. I think that, see, that's the link. That's what got me here from where I was, in terms of sometimes even if the quilt is kind of boring to make, sometimes you just like to sew and iron. And it interested me that so many people, that one of their big pet peeves, one of the things they just wanted to get off their chest, was that they really didn't like to sew. Really? What an interesting little hobby you've picked up then. Speaking of hobbies, I did some knitting last night, which I've not done in a long time. I am in a quandary. So I've been playing the fiddle for 2 years now, very badly. I'm lacking in musical talent, but I've enjoyed it. I certainly have enjoyed my lessons. My teacher's a great guy, and he's just fun to hang out with. So I've enjoyed that aspect of it very much. But right about the time that I actually bought a fiddle last December, I started having pain in my left arm when I was fiddling, and mostly my elbow, and I was worried that it was, my dog's out back barking at squirrels. I'm losing my train of thought. So, I was worried that maybe it was carpal tunnel or tendonitis. And I don't think it was tendonitis or carpal tunnel, but still, if you've ever seen someone hold a fiddle, or if you've held a fiddle yourself or a violin, you know you're really twisting your arm around. So that's been difficult for me, because I was actually kind of getting to a place where I was getting much better because I was practicing a lot, which is, of course, why I started having the elbow pain, the arm pain. And so I've spent a lot of the spring kind of dealing with that, and I went to a massage therapist, and I've been doing a lot of stretches and using heat, and those things help, but I haven't been knitting because of it, because knitting seems to aggravate the problem. If I'm having some pain anyway, then knitting seems to make it worse. Well, I haven't played my fiddle in about a month. I've just decided I really am kind of tired of dealing with the pain, and I want to just let it go for a while. And so I thought, well, you know, I should see if knitting still aggravates. My arm hasn't hurt in a few weeks, and so clearly the not fiddling helps very much. And I thought, I want to see if I can knit without pain. And I can. And I picked up a sweater that I started, I guess, last fall, a cardigan. I love cardigans, and I hardly have any. And this is a very easy pattern I saw in the Debbie Bliss magazine that came out, I guess, last fall. And I've already finished the back. And so last night I started on the left side, and I knit for a couple hours. And my arm is not sore. I think one of the things, one of the reasons that my arm hasn't been sore in general, not just playing the fiddle, but I've been very active. And so that's one thing. As the fall comes around and I'll be doing more writing again, I think sitting down is actually not a great thing for me to do. I shouldn't be sitting too much. That seems to throw my back and my posture and everything out of whack in some way. And the more I move around, the more I stretch, the better it all is. So, but I was just so happy to knit. I know some of you who listen are also knitters. Hold on, the dogs drive me crazy. All right, dogs still drive me crazy. I don't know. There must be workmen in the next yard. The killer cockapoo. Yeah. He did. We had a pizza delivered the other night, and the Travis barked. And he actually has a fairly decent bark. And the pizza delivery guy did not see Travis, but was concerned about him. And the man did not correct his concern, did not make him feel better in any way about our dog. He sort of suggested that, yes, we have a very vicious, killer brute of a dog. The man believing that it's best for strangers to think you have a killer dog inside and not a 20-pound cockapoo. Anyway, very happy to do a little knitting. I may do some here in a bit, although I do think I'm going to do a little more sewing on the stormy weather quilt. And I still need to bind Shoe Fly Pie, and I really want to get that done. I really want to get it hung up. But, there's just a lot of stuff to do. I also need to process tomatoes this afternoon. We have a big bunch of tomatoes that I'm just going to blanch and peel and core, and I think then just freeze like that. I don't think I'm going to food mill them, just freeze them, and maybe later thaw them, process when I collect more tomatoes and try some more tomato sauce to can. Really determined to make that happen and make enough to make it worth my while. That's my news. I'll probably have a little bit more news tomorrow after Melissa stops by and we have our tutorial. I hope that will be fun. And let's see. I think that's it, unless you want to hear about my garden, which is also like the quilting, just kind of going right along. Lots of tomatoes, lots of limas from Thomas Jefferson's garden. We got the seeds when we visited Monticello early in the year, and they're great because some of the pods or the beans themselves, and so when you string the pods, you pop open and there are purple beans, and they're beautiful. So that's quite delightful, and Will really likes that. I've gotten Will to show beans with me because he likes to see if he's going to get some of the purple ones. And some of our serendipity melons have ripened. These are small melons. They are they're smaller than a small bowling ball. They're pretty small, but they taste like almost like a combination of cantaloupe and honeydew. They're sweet, but are not as soft as cantaloupe. They're very, very nice. So we are really enjoying the fruits of our garden, and we're waiting for the sunflowers to topple over once and for all. I'm surprised. We just had the storm that came through. It had a lot of wind. And I'm surprised it didn't take the sunflowers down once and for all. They're about 9 feet tall and really kind of out of control. But they're cheerful, and it's good to have a cheerful garden. All right, that's it for now. More in a little bit. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. This is hilarious. I just came to sit out on the porch. I was thinking, this is good. The AC's not running, so it'll be quiet, and you'll be able to hear the sounds of the birds and the insects. And on the next street over, there is some truck, I guess, backing up because it's going beep. I'm sure you can hear it. I don't even have to imitate it. It's being recorded as I speak. And so now it sounds like I'm sitting in the middle of a urban landscape. And I'm not. I'm on my porch. It's a really nice day. It started out rainy. It's, by the way, it is Tuesday, July 26th. Great. I think they're cutting down trees. Lovely. Anyway, it's Tuesday, July 26th, and I spent the morning very productively. First of all, took my dog to the groomer. He needed grooming, Travis, and now he's back, and he's fluffy and smells good. He's quite a delight. But took him to the groomer around 8, got back, got ready for the carpet cleaner. We just have one carpet. It's in our family room, desperately in need of cleaning. It should have been cleaned in, like, April, but it was just kind of a wet spring, and I had boys running in and out of my backyard onto the carpet. I thought, this is crazy. I'm not going to clean my carpet right now, so I'm going to wait, and I waited till now. But it's beautiful. It's always so nice to have a clean carpet, especially when it gets as dirty as mine had gotten. There's a very big before and after effect. So got ready for the carpet cleaner, had some breakfast, carpet cleaner got here because Travis was at the groomer. I mopped the kitchen floor, which yes, I do every 6 weeks when Travis gets groomed. And the rest of the time I do a lot of spot cleaning. But yeah, I am, well, that way. House cleaning. Sometimes I'm for it. Sometimes I'm like, who has the time? Too much quilting and other things to do. And then my young friend, Melissa, came over. She's such a delightful person. She's very easy to hang out with. And I don't know, very pleasant and just likes to talk. And that's good because I'm on the quiet side. And so we fit together very well. But she brought a quilt she made. The quilt top, very small, it was 23 by 22, and what she had done, this is a present she's making for her mother's birthday. She had taken a really beautiful pillowcase, which was probably, we'll call it, say, 12 by 12, and ivory and beautifully patterned. It was almost, if it had been quilted, which it wasn't, but there was sort of a raised pattern on it, also ivory, so if it had been quilted, it would have been kind of Trapunto-esque. It was neat, and I mean, really floral, so the raised pattern was a floral pattern, and she had made a block with a patchwork of fabric, sort of old-fashioned, kind of, you know, Civil War kind of repro fabrics. Very nice. She did a great job. She sews, but she doesn't quilt. And so this is what I think one of her first quilting efforts. And so what we did is we cut out batting and backing fabric that she had brought, and I showed her how to quilt it, and she just did a stitch in the ditch. She didn't want to quilt on the pillow top at all. And understand, she was not making a pillow. She had, I don't know if she inlaid the whole pillowcase into this quilt or if she had actually very carefully cut out the top of the pillowcase and then pieced the patchwork around that. But in any event, so she just did a very simple stitch in the ditch, did not quilt over the pillow top. Which we both agreed, you know, it'd be the sort of thing that you wouldn't do. If you wanted that quilted, you'd send it out to someone who was an amazing quilter, because it was a very beautiful piece in and of itself. And so anyway, so she stitched in the ditch around the patchwork, and then I showed her how to make binding, which I actually did without messing it up. I mean, we only needed like 100 inches of binding. So we only had to put together three strips of fabric. But that's where I always mess up. You know, I can't ever do a strip of binding or a whole piece of binding without at least once attaching one strip to the other the wrong way. But since this was only three strips, I was able to do it without messing up. And then, you know, and she did the ironing. I thought we had a good balance of me showing and her doing. It helped that she sews. Like, she's been sewing herself some very simple denim jumpers this summer. It sounds like they're stylish. You say denim jumpers, that sounds frumpy, and she's not at all frumpy. She's young, and she's almost 6 feet tall, not frumpy at all. But so stylish old denim jumpers. And so, you know, so that was good, because she was very comfortable behind the sewing machine. So we had a really nice balance. I was able to show her stuff and then step back. Because I know I've had people teach me things. And I think your impulse when you're teaching, particularly a craft, is to overdo with the teaching and not always let the student try. And so I wanted to be really careful about that. I'm sensitive to that. I'm just a sensitive person. And again, because she had enough sewing skills, we could do that. And I could show her something, and then she learned very quickly. You know, and it didn't take any time to do the binding and all, and she understood how to do the... I mean, I showed her how to do the mitered corners on the binding, but I think I did one, and she said, well, maybe you should do all of them. And then by the second one, she was like, oh, okay, I get this. And she was able to do it, and then the last thing is I showed her how to sew on the binding onto the back and just showed her that kind of blanket stitch. and just did a few stitches, and then she's going to finish it up at home. So she was here for about 2.5 hours, and while she was at the machine, I was knitting, and we chatted, and it was really lovely. And, you know, and as I've been, you know, thinking about all my introversion stuff lately, and I'm very cool with it, but it's not that I don't like people. And that to me, and what's great is because I think she's kind of an introvert too, and so she's very, and if you're hanging out with a fellow introvert, you're kind of ready to go home after 2 hours. You can do 2 hours as well, you know, and so that works out really well, because I sometimes be in a social situation where you've been hanging out for 2 hours and it's been fun and you've been having a good time, and suddenly it's like the clock goes off and you're like, all right, I can't hang out anymore. And the other person's like, let's keep hanging out. You're like, no, I can't hang out anymore. Man, that is really irritating. I can't believe this has been such a quiet, still afternoon, and the minute I come out, we've got backing up truck. Man, life is unfair. It's totally unfair. That's been Will's little battle cry of the summer. And not recently, but there was a period of about a week where everything was unfair. And then we had to sit down and have a long talk about how the children who don't get breakfast, lunch, or dinner, that's unfair. Will's life, there's nothing unfair about it. Yeah. Sometimes you have to really take a really big rock and drop it. Yeah, that was probably a little extreme. But anyway, so the thing, it was interesting because Melissa was saying at first that, you know, she wasn't in some way that interested in making quilts. She didn't think she would make a big quilt, or, you know, though she likes to sew. And by the end of it, she was saying, well, I could see making more small quilts. I'm like, yeah, small quilts are great. You know, there's no, and, you know, so I think I'm luring her over to our side, but because her tone or her tune really changed from the beginning, where she was like, this was sort of just a one-time deal that, you know, she just wanted to make this for her mom. She thought her mom would find it special, but she didn't have any real interest in quilting. And by the end, she's like, huh, well, because, I mean, and it helps to finish a project in a couple hours. I mean, it took her a while to do the piecework on the, you know, the quilt top itself, but to be able to finish it up in a couple hours, I think it was like, oh, that's very satisfying. So had a lovely morning. Melissa left, and then I picked up my lovely dog from the groomer, and then Will's friend Wynn came over, and he is still over, and they were watching Scooby-Doo and making friendship bracelets. I think Will's got me figured out. As long as he's doing something crafty in front of the TV, I'm like, yeah, you can watch TV. But if he's just sitting there, I'm like, what are you doing just sitting there in front of the TV? Go do something. Summer days are long. They're long, and you know, it helps if you're Jack, because you spend half of your day sleeping, and so actually the days don't seem long at all, because you've slept until 12, and all there is the afternoon and the evening. But for Will, Will gets up early, and he always uses up his computer time early, and then, yeah, poor guy. Anyway, that's day two. I am working on the binding for the Shoe Fly Pie quilt. I've been just letting it sit around, that quilt sit around. Like, I really want to put it on the wall. So I'm doing that. I'm working out how to get the tabs in so I can hang it up either way on the wall. And making progress, continuing progress on Will's quilt. I'm not that far away from having all the pieces and being actually able to piece the top together. And that's always exciting when you realize you don't have quite as much work as you thought you did. So, I mean, it's one of those things, I think if I thought I'm going to dedicate this week to making Will's quilt, I probably could have it pieced by the end of this week. Maybe I could. Well, I think that's it, and I think I will finish up here and then maybe later on record the introduction. I can't think of anything else I have to tell you, except I just saw goldfinch in the garden, and that's always a pleasant sight. I hope you're having a good week. I hope the week continues to be good. I hope there are no trucks backing up into your life right now. Okay, now there appear to be two trucks. They kind of have a little chorus going, a little song and dance of the beeping trucks. What have I done to deserve this? I don't know. I just came on my porch to finish podcasting, but I'm sure the sound is irritating you as much as it is me. So I am finishing up. I am sending you best wishes, and I hope to see you next week. Bye.